Intercession is the act of intervening on behalf of another. So you're praying for other people, other circumstances, other businesses, that kind of thing. So given that definition, how many of you are intercessors? I should see every hand go up. Because if you'd prayed for a loved one, you know, you prayed for finances, you prayed, you know, whatever you've prayed for on behalf of another person, you're an intercessor. Intercession is really about releasing what God wants to do in a person or a circumstance. It's really about God's heart in having the environment that we live in parallel with kingdom, so that kingdom actually has an impact. What it's not is about getting God to align to meet our needs. So it's really not about us. It's really about the Lord and what he desires in his environment. Intercession is also about being smart in how we fight the war. And if you guys haven't realized yet, we're in a war. It's a war of good and evil. And we need to be smart when we, you know, go about prayer. He's given us lots of tools, and one is the fruit of the Spirit. That's one thing that we just need to be filled with, is the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, that becomes a core in who we are, and that's what the Lord is doing in each one of our lives, that we would become the fruit of the Spirit and that we would be there to release that. He's all about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And the Holy Spirit is with us always to give us nudges where we need a nudge. The Lord uses natural things to relay spiritual truths. And so when you consider how a war is run, there's very few people on the top, the generals and whatever, that would give direction. And often they give, not real specific direction. They give the general idea of what you need to do to go forward. And that's really what God does. He gives us clarity on where, what he's moving in. And he invites us into that conversation. You know, we don't ask the Lord every time we need to make a move. Some of the things comes at us and we need to make immediate decisions on. So Lord gives us direction, but if in a natural war, if an enemy would jump over a hill and start shooting at you, what are you going to do? You're not going to call up the general and say, hey, what do I do next? You start shooting back. And that's really how a lot of prayer stuff works, where we know what the core values are of the Lord, and we follow those values and we take action. But we never want to cross the boundary that counters the direction that the Lord sent us. Pray always and proceed in faith. But we're called to pray, you know, a half an hour, 2 hours. There's some people I know, even in this room, that are multiple hours per day. And you could tell by the gifting. You can tell by what they do and what they know and what the Lord shares with them. So that intimate time is worth just so much. And the more time you spend with God, the greater your connection with him, and the more authority you have. You know, he can entrust more to you when he knows you, when he just has that trust in you. The relational piece with the Lord is always a two-way street. It's always back and forth. And as far as being part of the culture of shifting the atmosphere. If you look up the word abide in the Bible, you're going to find just tons of scripture. And the Lord says, abiding in me and I abiding in you. And so that's just a really tight relationship. And it has a high impact in kingdom. It's really about being deeply connected with the Lord. The quicker you can connect with the Lord and just spend some quality time, it doesn't need to be an hour, but it's best if it's an hour. Honestly, my prayer time is scattered all over the place. One day I might have an hour and a half, the next day I might have 5 or 10 minutes. It just depends what's going on. But a lot of my prayer time is actually when I'm in bed getting ready to go to sleep. I connect with the Lord as best I can. Give him thanks for what went through the day. And I just bless the evening, and then I just, a lot of times I'll ask him a question and just let him, and just be quiet and just let him answer and just let him bring ideas through my mind. It's basically about getting to know him and getting to, you know, get direction and just get confidence in what the Lord has you doing. Because, I mean, who doesn't love just soaking with the Lord and just the peace that flows over you? And it's always really kind of fun when you can get answers to the questions that you've had. They just come to you. And we're called to pray always. And so, obviously, we have busy days, but it doesn't stop you from praying through your day. So, and then that really is that connection to the Holy Spirit when you're going through your day and you just dedicate things to, you know, the grace of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, the day just goes well. But so there's a difference between abiding in the Spirit in everything that you do during the day and abiding with the Lord in a quiet time where there's nothing else to focus on. So that that nothing else to focus on time, that is one to cherish. And that's really about dipping into the culture of honoring the Lord and really dedicating quality time to him. And when you do that, you are going to hear him. You're going to hear more consistently. But anyway, scripture way to pray, I feel, is giving thanksgiving. And in Psalm 100, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. What you're doing here is you're getting connection with the Lord. You're just trains your heart to see the Lord in your true eyes, and it makes that connection so your prayer is actually heard. It's actually part of that connection. The second thing is to really tell the Lord what you are interested in. You know, what do you want to talk about? In 1 Peter it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And I really focused on casting all your cares upon him because it changes from day to day. The things that we are concerned with, it's just a constant flow. It goes from one thing to the next, and he wants to be concerned with your daily interest. And then after you've made the connection and after you've really connected with the Lord on what you're concerned about, it's so important just to wait and listen, because he doesn't always respond in the first 30 seconds. Sometimes you have to wait a few minutes. Sometimes you have to wait an hour. But sometimes you have to demonstrate that you're really interested in what the Lord has to say. And so sometimes that's a sacrifice to get there. And you have to listen carefully. You have to listen you know, with all you can do. Because sometimes he talks very plainly, and sometimes it's so quiet that you can hardly register what he's saying. But he will always answer. Record what you hear. Our prayer team that we have for the ministry, we meet every Tuesday, and we basically check in, and then we get into prayer, and each person asks what's on their heart. So we may have a general topic that we're praying about. We may be praying about finances, or we may be praying about the coming events that we have, or direction that the Lord wants to take the ministry. But each person on the prayer team will ask specific questions to the Lord, casting that care upon the Lord, and then waiting for the corresponding answer. In our prayer time, when we get the answers, we have a half an hour soaking time, so we dedicate 30 minutes to just resting and just listening to the Lord. And every time we see pictures, we hear words, we hear phrases, and we share what the Lord shared with us in that prayer time. And then we have one person keeping record of what was found in that prayer time, so we can look at it a month from now, a year from now. We've actually got records back from probably 15 years ago of prayer times that we've had. So there's written records of what we prayed and what we heard and what God's opinion, what his direction, what his insights are. So I would really encourage you guys to do this, especially when you have targeted things you're praying for. So you can have a date and a word and what your even what your prayer is, what you're asking the Lord to do. Just a real simple thing to ask him is, what do you want me to know today? Because you can't take a prayer action unless you really know what the Lord is saying about a subject. So that's a very fair question. What, Lord, do you want me to know about this circumstance? I was considering this the other day is that, you know, if the Lord gave you a text on your phone, how quickly would you respond, or how closely would you pay attention to it if you got a text message from the Lord? I mean, I think we'd all be all over it, right? Well, he basically has given us a text message, and it's in the scriptures, it's in the Bible. And every time you read the Bible, you're going to get something fruitful out of it. It may be the same piece of scripture five times in a row with five different meanings, but it's going to give direction to you and equip you to do well. 1 John, it says in chapter 5, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." And the key there is praying in the center of his will. You know, when you just pray what you want, you typically don't get it because it's not the middle of his will. It's not what he's doing. In Mark, it says, "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, that's a scary verse. I knew one pastor and I knew another friend that both said that they felt the Lord had anointed them to play the lottery because they were going to pour wealth in their into their hands through the lottery. Now, how many think that's from the Lord? This one kind of explains it. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss, that you spend it on your own pleasures. If any of those guys would have got the lottery, they would have won the big one. What would they have spent it on? Some might have gone to the church. Most of it would have gone towards their pleasures. And who knows what train wreck that would have taken them to. So we have to have scripture that is parallel with other scripture to understand the full meaning of it. And I'm just so thankful for the James scripture that really says, hey, you know, if you're not getting what you want, you need to ask. You know, focus on asking and make sure that it's in accordance to what the Lord's doing in your life. So that's a big, big deal. And just having faith in your prayer that, you know, when you ask for it, the Lord has that petition. And he doesn't always answer the next day. Sometimes it's a week, a month, a year, or sometimes it's 10 years. There's so many examples in scripture where, you know, the blessing didn't come forth for, say, 10 years or something like that. But you just need to keep in faith. Keep reminding the Lord, hey, I remember this prayer, and I believe it's in accordance with your desires. So I expect, again, it's going to come at some point. The Lord doesn't mind being reminded. And then it comes down to really how did Jesus do it? First of all, he kept a deep, deep connection with the Father. He was always going aside from the business that he was carrying on and spending quality time with the Father. So in that, he didn't always necessarily get specific direction for what he's walking into, but he had the Father's imprint on his heart. He knew what the Father was thinking. Jesus kept free from the stain of sin. John says, Jesus said, "The ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me." Now, how many of us want nothing in me? Because you know when he has something in you, he can also discipline you. And he couldn't discipline the Lord. He couldn't do anything to the Lord because the Lord is 100% free. I love the scripture in, 1 John 1:7, or I think it might be 1:7, that it says, "If you're in the light as I'm in the light, two things happen. You have community amongst your people, and you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus." So that's powerful. We're constantly being cleansed. by the things that, the things that flow through our mind that we might grab onto for a short time, that's always being flushed out. So the Lord has provided in keeping us clean. If we do catch ourselves sinning, confess as quick as you can. Get that thing behind you. Talking about authority of the Father, in Matthew it says, all authority has been given to me, this is Jesus talking, in heaven and on earth, therefore go make disciples. And, you know, the Lord has been given authority through the Father, and Jesus passed that authority down to us. He gives us authority to act on his behalf in this world. The Lord rarely will have anybody speak against a principality of power, you know, the higher level of the spirit. We're more called to pray for individuals, for neighborhoods. And the whole thing with prayer is you can always release good things. You can't always bind up and command bad things to stop. You have to ask the Lord about those things. What authority do I have to come against this? The exception is if you're praying for somebody as an individual, you know they want freedom in a certain area, they just gave you authority to do that. Then you could bind what is troubling them and you could loose what the solution is. That's always the case. Jesus often, when he was going through healing, he would look at somebody. I think there's one story where there was a blind guy came up to him and he said, "What do you want?" Well, it's like it's obvious the guy can't see, but he asked him, "What can I do for you? What would you like me to do?" And I think he was asking for authority to pray into the guy's life. You know, so often people are coming to Jesus and they were basically, you know, through their body language, through their words or whatever, they were asking for certain things to be done on their behalf. They were saying, "Hey, my child is demonized. This is what's going on. You know, what can you do? That kind of thing. So he had authority to pray for those things. And I think we're called to do the same thing, to make sure you have authority to pray what you're praying. Because the second heaven prayers are basically prayers out of your soul for the most part. You know, they're things that you feel are just and right. However, if the Lord hasn't assigned them, you're pretty much hanging out there on your own. The issue is really with global type prayers. So an example would be there's a spiritual influence over Wisconsin, and it has to do with drunkenness. Not sobriety, it's drunkenness. So you can't go into Wisconsin and say, "I bind the spirit of, you know, alcohol abuse." You can't go in and say that. What you can say is, "I bless this region to encounter sobriety. I bless the joy in these people that they don't have to rely on alcohol to soothe their pain, that the Lord would meet them in their point of need." And so you can always, you know, the whole thing is when you walk in a room, what happens when you turn the light switch on? The darkness goes and the light shines. You just can't bind the darkness. You can loose, instead, you loose the light. When you're talking about the global type prayers, that's some pretty important stuff. And when you're messing in somebody's territory and they don't have the right to be there, there's going to be a kickback. If you have permission, you can bind and loose all you want. Wow. That's why so often when people come up, even, you know, we'll have ministry here during worship nights and stuff, and it's like, what can we pray for? Because even within a person, there's might be some things that they're not ready to give up. So we can't bind that because they haven't given permission to get rid of that. I don't think any of us really understand the goodness of the Lord and how tender and how full his mercies are to us and the grace he wants to pour on us. He's so for us that, I mean, if you just lean into him, you're gonna sense his heart and you'll know how to pray. Prayer works. It just absolutely works. But you have to be specific what you pray for. You have to be careful how you pray. You don't always get what you think you're shooting for unless you're specific. And in Matthew 21:21, it said, "Assuredly, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree. Remember, that was the tree that wasn't producing fruit, so he cursed it and it died. But also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. You know, the Lord's continually building our faith. It starts with little things, and as he sees you succeed in the faith in little things, he keeps bringing you more things that he knows you're equipped to succeed in.